Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, I know this isn't a movie podcast, but Onward is out, and we've both seen it, and there's kind of an interesting, I guess... So basically, there's a Simpsons short before Onward. You know, I guess, what was it that had the 30-minute Frozen?
Nope, that short? Would be Coco.
Coco, yeah, had the really super long...
Totally unrelated.
Yeah, Olaf's Frozen Adventure short film. I didn't see that in the theater, so I haven't actually seen Olaf's Frozen Adventure, but I did go see Onward this week, and you've seen Onward, right?
Yes, I went and saw Onward as well, and have seen the Simpsons short before it.
So what did you think?
So I feel like there's a couple of different things to talk about here. First of all, the Simpsons short itself, right? I thought it was really good. I thought it did a great job of telling a nonverbal story. You know, the short essentially follows Maggie, and as such, it doesn't involve, you know, a lot of talking or anything like that. And I thought it put together a cohesive story, and I found it amusing. And you know, it had some stuff that was easily understood by kids, but at the same time it had some stuff in there for adults to catch as well without being I don't think anybody's going to have an issue with their kids seeing the short.
Yeah.
And so I think the short itself was well done. Now that is the discussion of the short itself. The short in front of this movie that is definitely being marketed to kids, I don't really get. And here's the thing. I saw someone's take on Twitter about this, and I don't remember who it was, but it rung with me, and I think probably colored my viewpoint going into it. But there, you know, essentially what they said was what they didn't understand was if you took your kid to watch this movie and they really enjoyed that Simpsons short, what that's going to make them think is, I want to watch more Simpsons. And is that something that parents are really going to want to do? You know, like, it doesn't, that short, I don't know that it gives and I'm not, please understand, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to judge for you what is or is not appropriate for your kids. Right. But what I am saying is that there are plenty of people out there who feel like The Simpsons is a bit too mature, especially for younger kids. And that short was not a representation of that aspect.
An accurate depiction of The Simpsons.
Right. Right. It's okay. So it is an accurate depiction of a facet of The Simpsons. Right. Like, I don't feel like this was that totally felt like something that would be completely at home in a Simpsons episode. But that wouldn't be all of a Simpsons episode, and that's not going to be every Simpsons episode. And so that's, I think, where it becomes a little bit harder. Plus, outside of that, there's just the, quite honestly, you know, even if it was the Fab Five in a short before this movie, I would rather have an opportunity to see, you know, these short films that are just, I want to see the stuff where people are just trying things out, right? Rather than synergizing the short film before the movie. I really enjoy a lot of the Pixar short film, and even the Disney animation short film, you know, the stuff that they've done before the movies. And between Frozen Ever After and this, I'm starting to wonder, is this synergy thing going to become more the norm? And are we missing out on an opportunity to, you know, to see them kind of stretch their legs? So those are all of my thoughts, Jeremy. What are your thoughts about The Simpsons short?
So for the short itself, I did not think it was funny at all. I didn't understand why it was there. I didn't find it funny. I guess it conveyed a story well. Like, I understood what it was saying, but it didn't need to be. Like, there was no reason for it, the way that, like, if you go and watch Jerry's Game or La Luna or, you know, any of those other Pixar shorts that are beautiful and very, you know, cheerful and wonderful. I didn't get any of that from this. This felt just totally out of place. And it was weird, too. The thing started, it opened with Disney welcomes The Simpsons. Did this exist to tell people, like, hey, Disney owns The Simpsons now? That struck me weird. That was a weird way to start. It was like, hey, welcome to The Simpsons. Welcome to the family. It's like, nobody cares.
Well, so wouldn't the weirder thing be that, like you said, this was a different, you know, this wasn't Pixar doing The Simpsons. This was The Simpsons doing The Simpsons. So that is The Simpsons saying that Disney is welcoming The Simpsons.
Yeah, I don't, it just felt.
Which is kind of like, I hadn't thought of that part about it, but yeah, that's a little bit odd too.
So I don't know, man. This to me was a total waste of a short.
I wonder, are they thinking that, you know, because they've got those Pixar shorts on Disney Plus, right?
Right.
Is that going to be the new outlet for the, like, more experimental Pixar shorts? Is that where are they going to go to Disney Plus and things like that rather than going to the theaters now?
I don't understand why they can't do both, you know? So, okay, let's just go with the last few. So Coco had a 20-minute Frozen short, right? Olaf's Frozen Adventure.
Yes.
And then Incredibles 2 had Bao, which was amazing. That was a That was a tearjerker.
Yeah, that was one that I didn't get as well. That didn't resonate with me the way that it did for you, but I will definitely agree that it was a very good short.
Toy Story 4 didn't even have one. And then this Simpsons short. So in the last four movies that have come out, one of them had a Pixar short in front of it. And that sucks, man. The whole thing just felt forced. Like, the whole thing felt like some agreement when Disney bought Fox and they said, you're going to have to make a Simpsons short and put it out in front of a movie. That's the only reason I can, you know, see behind doing that.
Yeah. And so technically this is not the, you know, the first time this has happened, even within Pixar, because, you know, you brought up Cars 2, and that it was actually preceded by a Toy Story, you know, the Hawaiian Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That came out before the Cars 2 theatrical release. But even, yeah, somehow that felt less clunky, I guess, than the, you know, gosh, Olaf's Frozen Adventure, right, or whatever.
And like, I don't think The Simpsons lend themselves to no dialogue. Like, honestly,
it doesn't, but like I said, we're going to disagree here, but I actually thought that it was I thought they actually did a pretty darn good job of doing a story without dialogue that, and I think it worked. I know that you don't, and, you know, we can disagree on that.
I think it worked in that I understood what they were trying to convey. But I don't think that The Simpsons, and maybe it's just because this is a 30-year-old franchise that has always had dialogue, and it's jarring for it to all of a sudden be this more visually, you know, visual narrative instead of being a audio.
And telling a story with audio cues, but not with, but it's very different to not be telling that with dialogue.
Yeah.
Per se.
Yeah. But how did you feel about the movie, Onward?
I thought it was a good movie. Like, it didn't... I don't think it was Pixar's strongest movie, But I also think it's nowhere near their weakest. You know, it's not a Cars 2.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was a good film.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was pretty good. It was really different.
Yeah, I think for a lot of studios, it would have been a great film. I think, you know, the problem is, and I feel like we've talked about this, maybe it was with Cars 3 or something like that, but the biggest disadvantage it is at is being compared to a lot of other films from a really, really good studio, you know? When I compare it to, you know, Toy Story 2 or, you know, I think I would put it up above Cars 3, but like Wall-E, right? Or Up. Yeah. I think that either of those is definitely, in my subjective ranking, either of those is a better movie than Onward. But that doesn't make Onward a bad film by any stretch. But yes, it was definitely it felt like a departure from the normal type of Pixar movie.
When we hit the first car chase, I was like, huh, this is going in a direction I did not, you know, think. It's much more action-y than a lot of Pixar movies. I liked it a lot. I would definitely put it in the top half, I think, of Pixar movies.
I think that's fair. It's underneath a lot of them, but yeah, it's not a Toy Story, or excuse me, it's not a Cars 2. It's not a Good Dinosaur, which again, I felt better about that than I think you did.
Mm-hmm. I would still put this
definitely above that. Maybe it's falling like more in kind of probably still above, but definitely it'd be kind of iffy with something like a Brave, I think, is where it falls for me.
My only issue with that is, and I love Chris Pratt to death, but he is such a well-known person. It's hard
not to see him when he talks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that was to the movie's detriment that he was cast. Tom Holland has such a, you know, like, he, to me, like, I have to really listen to hear his voice. He has a very, like, just regular guy kind of voice. But Chris Pratt is unmistakable. And I think it kind of took a little bit out of the movie. You know, his scenes, he just kind of, it became the Chris Pratt show for a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? As I was watching that movie, you know what I was thinking? Who should have been cast there? If you want to just be more on the nose, Jack Black.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially that felt to me like a Jack Black character.
And I think it would have been...
The lovable loser or something. Like, it almost felt like they wrote that with him in mind.
Yeah.
Like, and don't get me wrong, Chris Pratt definitely fits the bill and does that role justice but it felt like a Jack Black role to me.
And I think Jack Black would have been a better choice. I don't think it would have taken away from the movie as much as Chris Pratt. He's just so popular, you know, like he's so well known and he's in so much right now that maybe it'll age better, you know, in 10 years when you watch Onward, we won't be so inundated and you know, with Chris Pratt, and so it'll be a little better. But I was just like, yeah, man, it's really hard to hear Chris Pratt and not see Andy Dwyer and Star-Lord, you know, and all of his very, very popular characters.
Yeah, and so because I don't want to be spoilery, I will say that I will try to be vague and say that what I think move this film from a, at best, mediocre, you know, it was definitely going to be still, I really feel like, you know, there are people who I'm sure love Cars 2, and it's taking a beating from me, but would have still been above Cars 2, but would have put it, I would have said, no, that's the lower half for me, was kind of how that last maybe 25% of the film was handled. The decisions that they made with the storyline at that point, I think, are what put that movie and it didn't feel cheap. It didn't feel but at the same time, it was very well done.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to say because I don't want to, you know, I want people to be able to go into this movie and enjoy it without being like, oh, but I need to watch for this or that. But I will, I guess I'll say that I didn't, not all of my it subverted some of my expectations in a really good way. How about that? Is that vague enough to not be spoilery? You know what? If they want to do a short that involves a previously existing IP, mm-hmm. I want to see more adventures of Manticore and Mom,
because mm-hmm.
you know they're buddies now, so we could see them out questing. I would be totally down for that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty good movie. I found almost nothing redeeming about the short, but I did think Onward was a very good movie. I hope that they don't make a sequel. You know, I would love to see, like you said, a short of the Manticore and the Mom, like going out and you know, having a fun time. Although you couldn't do that without dialogue. There is no way you could have a short of them.
This needs to be not before a film. This needs to be like
straight to Disney Plus, like. Just short on
well, not even not even straight film. To Disney Plus. So like Jack Attack, right? Was mm-hmm. came with the home release.
Oh, I love Jack Attack.
Right. So that is a perfect example of something that would totally fit with this.
Yeah.
You know, or for like Lamp Life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was a Disney Plus. So either way, either home release or Disney Plus, I'm totally down with, but I think that would be a much better use of a short than some of the other options.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But yes, Onward, I thought it was a very good film. One other thing that I'd like to say about it, I don't know that it would lend itself great. Like I don't immediately see how it would lend itself to a Disney attraction, which is not, you know, that's not a problem. By no means should they be making movies only if they can make attractions of them. And I also would say that there are plenty of attractions that exist based on IP that prior to me seeing that, I would, you know, short of like the standard dark ride.
Yeah. I think it would be a really good like play area. You could have a bunch of the characters climbable, I guess. You could let kids climb on or around all those characters. I think kids
would just be down with the world too, yeah. Right? Just yeah. Like mushroom houses
a
are bit, cool.
A really big Cheeto. You know, I think the way that the Honey I Shrunk the Kids play area was, this is an especially good fit, I think, for that, because it's such a unique world. You know, WALL-E takes place on Earth, and Cars more or less takes place on Earth. You know, it's an Earth where cars are
but
sentient.
Cars Land is really cool.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, but you wouldn't want to have a static Cars play place. You know, I don't think there's anything interesting or anything that interesting about the world that Cars exists in. Whereas if you built like a really good Onward area, that would lend itself to, you know, something that didn't necessarily need to be interactive in that, you know, anything moved.
Right.
I think this lends itself really well to like just a space where kids could go and play.
Well, we'll see. The only thing that concerns me is if it warrants a space, it warrants a sequel. And if it warrants a sequel, I don't see, unless there are some options for a sequel, but not, I would prefer a sequel involving some of the secondary characters.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a sequel I want to see.
In other news, all the Disney parks are closed and,
just a little thing.
Yeah. Like I saw it coming. Like it was pretty obviously going to happen. Tokyo shut down. Then Chinese park shut down. Then Disneyland shut down.
Wasn't it Chinese park shut down? Because, like, Shanghai and Hong Kong, I think, shut down before Tokyo did.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And then Tokyo, and then was it Disneyland first, or was it Paris first?
No, Paris was last, I think.
Okay.
Either way, they're all gone. They're all yeah. closed as of tomorrow.
Oh, and by the way, Walt Disney World also closed.
Yeah.
As of tomorrow,
which,
as we're recording this, and as of now, as you're listening to this, you're listening very far in the future, in which case maybe it's open again.
I read a thing that said the last time Disneyland was closed, it was closed for a day and a half, and Disney lost $40 million.
That was Walt Disney World during Hurricane Matthew.
Oh, okay. Walt Disney World then. Yeah, $40 million for a day and a half. And this is like going to be a week or two.
At least.
Oof.
At minimum. It's going, because, I mean, Shanghai has been closed a lot longer than that, and
yeah.
I don't see any reason to assume that it's going to go, you know, like...
I don't want to act like this is dumb. Like, I think this is totally the right thing to do, given this disease that we don't know a lot about, you know? It's a scary thing, but...
It's something we don't know a lot about, other than in large groups of people, it ain't good.
Right.
And lots of people can get sick real, real fast, so
yeah.
Putting people all around each other may not be the best idea.
From all over the world, too. You know, it's not, yes. This isn't a place where people from all over America come. This is a place where all people from all over the world come. It's just wild. Like, Disney doesn't close, you know? And so to have every park in the world closed is just like this wild thing that doesn't happen. And I think it's a testament to how important and how big of a deal this is, you know, that even Disney is closed.
Well, and it's a weird thing to, okay, so Disney is closed, right? We've said that it's weird. Also, what all of the Disney, and I feel for this personally, the college program was ended early as of, like, I want to say the 22nd.
That was rough.
Is when especially at the, this is near the end. So there are essentially two college programs. There's one that's going to go through the spring semester. And then there's another one that is going to, you know, you can sign up for an advantage that goes all the way through the summer. Especially if you weren't signed up for the event, this stinks for everybody, but especially if you weren't signed up for Advantage, you're on the tail end. Like, you're starting to maybe come to terms with the fact that you're going to be leaving. And now, like, this time that you had to transition gets ripped out from underneath you. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You're going home. And I hope you can find lodging. I hope you have plans. I hope, you know, if you're an international cat, which I don't, as far from what I've heard anyway, it's just the college program is ending early. There are international students who do the college program as well.
Yeah.
Like, how does that work?
And I have seen today that Disney has said they're going to help people find accommodations.
Yes, yeah. So they've said on a case-by-case basis, essentially, if this isn't easy for you, let us know, and we're going to work with you to work this out. And I get it. You know, that's a bunch of people that they're not going to be able to use if everything's closed, because they're going to, you know, they're going to be retasking cast members to fill in extra positions within the resorts and stuff like, you know, the areas that are still open at this point. For how long, who knows? But anyway, the areas that are still open at this point, they don't need all of the college programmers there anyway. But yeah, to just suddenly be done is just got to be gut-wrenching. Because yeah. I remember how hard it was at the end of my program, and I had plenty of time to prepare for it. I just couldn't even imagine. And I know I totally get that it sounds like a silly thing, but... You know, when you're in college, this can be an extremely meaningful time for you to meet all of these people, to get the chance to do this job and everything.
When it can lead to opportunity.
Right. So it becomes a big deal for a lot, you know, and I feel comfortable saying this because I've talked to plenty of people who have done the college program, and I am not alone in this, in feeling the way that I feel about the college program. So my heart goes out to those college program cast members who are going to be, you know, who have now or just about, you know, finished up early here.
Yep.
So that's kind of a stinker to have happen. But hey, on the let's plus side, right? Let's say that there's a plus side. Can they get Rise of the Resistance fixed now? because it's not like they can't, you know, it's not like they're not allowed to enter the park because it's a hot zone or something. They just can't have a bunch of people there.
Right. Yeah.
And now they should be able to work on it for 24 hours a day for at least 2 weeks.
Yep.
Maybe more.
Yep.
I feel like I would have been moving up timetables on a bunch of projects and been like, okay, well, if we're going to be closed. You know, it's kind of like, I imagine it's probably similar for you and for most people at work. There's all those jobs that you would like to get to and that you know that you need to get to, and you're going to try to schedule when you can, but because it would be an inconvenience to people, you just can't schedule it. You know, yeah. It's really hard to make it work, or you got to do it in little bitty chunks, and suddenly the business is closed. Well, let's get all that stuff done.
Yep. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, that's if you know, if they're allowed to go to work, if it's not a, like, you must work from home type thing, if they are allowed to go to work, this could be a really good opportunity for that team to get in there and have what is basically 24 hours a day access to an attraction that needs a lot of love.
So get Rise of the Resistance done, bonus project. Get the Yeti moving again.
Oh, yes. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.